The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget about our January 1st, 2001 webcast. The Phil Hendry Show presents a live, uncensored, and unedited, unexpurgated, unlorded over, unmonitored by Big Brother or the FCC webcast of the Tournament of Roses Parade. Yes, remember all those great marching bands? Complete with all of our favorite guests, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear the Rose Parade. Yes, the great marching bands, the hopeful looks on the faces of the little children along the parade route as they hear their favorite high school band come down the street. It's out of sight, man. And we're going to have it for you on January 1st. You can hear it on the radio. You can see it on... You can't hear it on the radio. You can't see it on TV. Listen via the internet for $4.95. Hear this historic presentation live and uncensored for just $4.95. Yeah. Hit it! PhilHendryShow.com for details. That's PhilHendryShow.com for further details. God, I just love the Rose Parade. For those of you who have never been to a Rose Parade, I know I was talking a little bit about it yesterday, but it's neat. When you can hear music like that, why stay home? Why not stand out there at 5 a.m. when it's 30 degrees? Using someone else's bathroom. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. All right, we have the Supreme Court thing that we are all waiting with bated breath to hear about. This is not live. I think this is a tape here. Generally, it'll say CNN Live. We're monitoring whether the decision is going to come down today. And the decision is, will the appeal of the Florida Supreme Court stand? The Florida Supreme Court ruling, of course, was to allow recounts. And that was overruling Judge Saunders that said no recounts, and so Bush has appealed it there to the Supreme Court. And you know as much as we do, and that's really what it's all about. Will votes be recounted, especially will they be hand-counted in certain counties in Florida? And can we just talk about one thing, and that is the perception that if Bush... We're in George Gore. What is going on with me, man? This thing is just flowing. It's flowing together so rapidly that everything I called him Gush earlier in the show. Everything has just become so blurred. Everything is melding together. Everything sort of flowing together like paints that have been spilled on the garage floor that I don't know what color it is anymore. You know, George Gore, Al Bush. George Gush, Al Bohr, I don't, you know. So what we have here is a perception that Bush wouldn't be doing the same thing were the shoe not on the other foot. Now, that's a little tough to take. I'd like to answer those queries and those concerns, especially voiced by people that I know. Don't you think that Bush would be doing the same thing were the shoe on the other foot? And the answer to that is, I don't know. I got to be honest with you, I really don't know. I don't know if he would or not. I don't know if the same pressures are existent with George Bush that they are with Al Gore. Has got a lot of grassroots organizations leaning on him, man, to get out the vote, make the vote count. All of these real grassroots rainbow coalition, up from the street kind of organizations that are really, I mean, they're putting a lot of pressure on this cat. Bush, he's got people behind him who don't necessarily need for him to be elected President of the United States, because they can make more noise behind the scenes with a few well-placed checks, a few well-signed checks, a few well-oiled hands. They can do more behind the scenes than maybe they could with a guy there in the White House of their own party. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the Republicans and the kind of power that they broke doesn't necessarily mean they have to have a guy sitting in the White House. I mean, it's a nice ego stroke. It's something to write home about. It's always sweet to open up a history book, I guess, and see your kisser in there. But those cats have been pulling strings behind the scenes with some very nicely greased palms for a long time. So And I'm just, you know, what do I know? I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm guessing that the answer to your question, Mike, would be, I don't know whether Bush would be doing the same thing that Gore's doing right now. I don't know if Bush would be screaming. Maybe he would with the Kennedy thing and everybody's fresh in everybody's memory. Maybe he'd say, not this time. You guys did it in 60. You are not going to do it again. Maybe he would. But I'll tell you this. It wouldn't have anything to do with any great concern for the country. It wouldn't have anything to do with any great concern for the Constitution, and it wouldn't have anything to do with any great concern for the morale of the people. I don't know where those cats get that stuff, man. I don't know where those dudes, those Republican, conservative, talk show kind of people, where they are getting this concept and this idea that Bush somehow cares more for the country, so therefore he wouldn't be putting the country through this. Where is that from? Because he's a Republican, he's automatically a sweetheart? Come on. Are you guys, the only guys that believe that are you people, those newbies, those people who joined the Republican Party within the last 10 years because they heard a lot of Ollie North show, because they've been listening to a lot of Mary Madeline. I don't know who you are. You guys are the only ones that actually buy that, all right? There's nobody else, certainly there's no other Republican or conservative, anybody with any real track record or history who really buys that George Bush is some kind of a sweetheart who isn't going to put the country through the same thing that Al Gore's putting the country through right now. It just so happens your guy is ahead. It just so happens he was ahead when this thing came to a close, and Gore is a moron. That's all. Those only two things. Other than that, everything is the same. No, he's not a moron. It's just, I shouldn't use such a strong word. It's just that whole thing about don't get snippy with me. That's still bugging me. You remember when Bush said, you're saying that you are retracting your concession speech, and Gore said, don't get snippy? Well, the guy's got a right to a question, Al. Because it's like the first time that's ever happened. Hi, George. Oh, hi, Al. You doing? Good. Listen, you know how I conceded the election? Yeah, well, I'm retracting that concession. You're retracting your concession? Don't get snippy with me! Just asking a question. You big sissy. Back off, man. Now, the other thing that's going on, and I hope you guys have noticed this. Check this out. You realize, of course, that what we're all asking of the Supreme Court, because we all eat at McDonald's, and I just, as a matter of fact, had myself some very nice instant miso soup. Miso soup, that's a Japanese soup. You can get that in sushi bars. You can get that in a tempura restaurant. Do you realize now you can get it in a handy little packet, put it into a cup of boiling water, and you have instant miso soup. Now I want an instant decision from the Supreme Court. That's what we're asking for. You realize that, okay? So if it's a rotten decision, don't start getting crybaby about it. Everybody wants this thing. Got Wolf Blitzer standing there. He's freezing his rear end off since Monday. They got him parked out in front of that Capitol building. And you got everybody else standing out there. And Ted Turner's, I want that decision as soon as it comes down. It ought to be any minute now. Let's go, 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 go. Come on, go, babe. And everybody's standing around there in front of that Supreme Court building, and they got the sign there waiting for the big decision to come down. And Rehnquist is in there, and he says, okay, what do you guys want to do? What do you think? Everybody's waiting. Come on, Clarence, wake up. Well, I don't know. Can I make some cup of noodles? Forget about the cup of noodles, Dave. Look at Souter with his cup of noodles. Well, I just would like to concentrate. Look, we're not in Maine, man, okay? We're not tapping into a maple tree. Take your freaking flannel shirt. Hey, Ruth, what are you doing? Huh? Putting on my makeup. Get the makeup and put it back in the purse. They got to have a decision. They got to have a decision now. What are you doing?
Huh?
Stevens, what are you doing? Wake him up, will you? The guy's asleep. Got to have a decision. What do you think? Okay, what do you want to go? Gut check. What do you think? It sucks. Okay, it sucks. 9-0, it sucks. And somebody go get Breyer off the PlayStation, okay? Just anybody, I don't care who, send a clerk in there. It doesn't matter to me. Get him off the PlayStation. Because the word is, if you haven't heard, the word, they want a 9-0 vote on this thing. They want a 9-0 vote. They don't want 7-2, they don't want 6-3, and they don't want no 5-4. They want it 9-0. Why, Phil? Because it shows that they are ideologically unified, and it sends a good message to the rest of the country, because they know what a bunch of schlubs we are and what a bunch of predictable peterheads we are, because we're going to sit there and say 5-4, look, they were split just like the rest of the country. This really sucks. 5-4, just like the election, just like the country, just like my life, just like me. I'm split. So they want to go 9-0 to, you know, kind of calm everybody down. So look, this is how it's going to be, whether you like it or not. That's what I heard. We'll go and turn the TV up here in a minute. But first, a bathroom break. 1-800-449-8686. Remember, as always, if we get any good calls, we'll put them on the air on The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. So in other words, the Supreme Court comes with a decision that they had to arrive at relatively quickly because the country is just dying to know what the answer to this conundrum is. And these cats are laying this thing out in front of us like they've been thinking about it for 14 seconds. How good's it going to be? See, in other words, the Supreme Court, as was pointed out on television about 15 seconds ago, so I can repeat it to you as if it's an original thought of mine. The Supreme Court takes months, weeks, years. Well, they take months and weeks to come to decisions on certain things. They don't just say, okay, got to get it going, let's go, ho! All right, here it is, let's go. What are you talking about? I said, let's go. Well, we can't go, you old fool. And these are elderly people, too, by the way, and I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of old jokes. I'm not going to start knocking old people. Look, thank God they are old and wise people. John Paul Stevens is 80. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think, is 104. William Rehnquist has been on. I think Lincoln appointed him. So they're beautiful, and they're ready to rock. No, they're brilliant people. And they've been around the block, and they know what's up. And I think forcing them into a quick decision is a bummer. But, hey, I guess it comes with a job, right? It's the job description, right? I mean, nobody ever said to them, and you're going to have all the time you need, weeks, months, you know, take, in fact, why don't you go on vacation now? What if Rehnquist said that, hey, I don't care what you guys are talking about, I'm slated for vacation. We got the thing that I don't give a crap. I rented the cabin at the lake, okay, I'm going to lose my deposit. But you got to talk it, you talk to me in 2 weeks when I'm back. Bye. Clarence Thomas, who I had the question answered, you know, and I know all of you know the answer already, but just to, you know, to make it official, Clarence Thomas doesn't say anything in these hearings because that is his wont. That is his habit. He does not ask questions. We don't even know if he's still there. That's his M.O. Is he still on the did they just go ahead and nominate a black guy and then they got rid of him later? Is he still there? Is Clarence still with us? We don't know. But I think he, is he alive? Yeah, maybe he's on vacation. What if he's just propped up in a chair? Flies buzzing around. Justice Thomas is on vacation, but we'll at the adult bookstore. I don't know. But anyway, well, he's getting that long dong silver. But anyway, The whole thing is just, it's really amazing, and it's wonderful to see, and I just wish the whole bloody thing would come to an end, you know? And what they ought to do is sequester them. See, juries, and we all know this, 12 Angry Men. Remember, they sequestered the jury. They sequestered the jury, O.J., they sequestered the jury to get a verdict. And the judge says, you don't have a verdict? No, you go back in there, and when you get one, you let us know, but you're not going anywhere. You're going to be staying in a hotel, if need be. You're going to be staying inside a sequestered area. You will not be allowed to come out until you have a decision here. All right, well, okay. Same thing with this Supreme Court. But what are they doing? No, it's 6 o'clock. You guys want to get coffee? All right, if they're doing that, isn't there something? They have every right in the world to do that. You guys want to go across the street in 8 & Al's and get some salami and eggs or something? No, just stay there and do the Well, I don't want to. I want to get dinner. I think it would be a riot if they just all took vacation, though. Just screw you. Look, man, my family, I've been on that Big Red Boat Disney cruise now for 6 months, okay? 6 months. And I got on the ship Wonder. You think I'm going to pass that up? They got their own island in the Bahamas. Screw you guys. This is, we're talking about the election president of the United States. I don't care, man, if you're talking about the first man on Mars. I ain't passing that thing up. Plus, I got four nights at Disney World at the Floridian, thank you very much, where Eisner stays. But you're the Supreme Court Justice. Yeah, I'm the Supreme Court Justice. Well, great. You like the robe? Yes, I do. I'm very, you know, I admire it. Well, here, you can wear it. And the powdered wig, too. I never dug that. That powdered wig is something that I really wish we'd adopt. Why we won't do that, why we insist on being so independent of the British that we can at least not put the little powdered wig on, because I'd love to see that on David Suter. God, that'd look good. Just when they come out, thank you. No wonder they're not on TV. I bet you they are wearing a freaking wig. I don't want to wear the wig. Well, you're going to go in the wig. Well, then we're not going to be on television, okay? Either I wear the wig and we're not on TV. Clarence Thomas is the guy who didn't want that. No chance, pal. Now, come on, Clarence. You wanted to be on the Supreme Court, didn't you? You wanted to be the big man, all right? Put on the powdered wig. I ain't putting it on. Sandra Day O'Connor. Do the women have to wear that? How do there's no powdered wigs for women. You see, we see... Huh? No, there aren't. There was? What it was? It's the big thing. Are you talking about the Marie Antoinette big beehive thing? So wait a second. Now just check this out. Craig's telling me that if the guys wear the powdered wig in England, because and all we ever saw from the movies, of course, were the men wearing. But if you ever get a woman on the high court, she's got to wear the freaking beehive hairdo from Marie Antoinette. She's wearing something like out of Creation of the Humanoids. Yeah, Roger. I don't think so, man. I can't. That big high thing that the chick wore in Mozart and Amadeus, she comes walking out with that thing. You could put a dog in there. Jewels hanging from it, you know. Get out of here. This is impossible. It's impossible. What do the British do? Do the British have female judges? I don't know whether they do or not. It might be a... But I think that if they, my guess is this, if they have a woman sitting on a high court in England or in any one of the Commonwealth countries where they wear the powdered wig, the women don't have to wear it. That's my guess. They look like idiots. Those are wigs that are meant for men. What do you do? Sandra Day O'Connor with that bouffant hairdo, whatever the hell she's got, and then she puts the wig on top of that? And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she puts the wig on, she's going to look like Benjamin Franklin. Anyway, they should sequester them, and I know that they're elderly, but I think it would be very, very good for them. So the country waits. We wait to find out who's president. As you know, weeks ago I told you, at this point I don't care. I voted for Al Gore. I believe he would be a better president. I think he made horrible mistakes. I think he's made some horrible mistakes in terms of leadership over the last few weeks. I think if he wins this thing by virtue of a court order, I think it's only going to hurt him. It's not going to help him. Bush, it'll help. Because Bush has the weight right now of popular opinion. I can feel it. I can smell the rain in the air, man. And I know which way the wind's blowing. And Bush, people are going to buy that. If Bush gets in, I know that there's a whole bunch of clowns standing around out in front of the Supreme Court right now with their little picket signs and their babushkas and they're drinking hot coffee and they're eating pizza slices. And I realize they're all very vocal. But I think, by and large, most people would buy Bush getting in as the president as opposed to Gore. And I think the reason is because it'll be perceived as a win for a Democrat in the courts. Never mind the fact that the guy that's been really looking for relief in the courts is a Republican, Bush. He's the guy that's been taking this thing to the court. Not Gore. Yeah, there have been some lawsuits filed on behalf of Gore. There's been some lawsuits, by the way, filed on behalf of Bush. Bush is the cat, man, that took it to the federal level. The Republicans who always decry legislation by the judiciary. The Republicans are always decrying settling these issues at the federal court level, at the Supreme Court level. The Republicans are always bellyaching about why can't we just pass a law and have the court stay out of it. Those are the cats that went up there and stood in front of those powdered wigs and said what they said. It's the Phil Hendry Show. More powdered wigs next. Landry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And you know something? I noticed something today. I noticed a smell coming from underneath my house. And I thought I was going to be able to... I thought I was going to be able to cover it up. No, I'm not talking about the sewer problem that I'm having. The stench is now emanating from underneath my house, and I think the neighbors can smell it. And the police. Yes, I said the police are now asking questions. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I have buried under my house the bodies of people that I killed. I strangled them with my bare hands. And you ask me who they are. Well, those are the people who reminded us constantly last year in December that the millennium isn't starting now. It starts in 2001. And I told myself, I can put up with it. I can deal with it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But then one day something snapped. One more person. Just one more person said to me, you know, the millennium doesn't start in the year 2000. It starts in 2001. And I don't know what happened, but my hands wrapped around their throat. And before you knew it, their eyeballs had popped out of their skull and their tongue was just hanging lifeless and they were dead. And it felt so good that I tossed that body under my house. And the next person that said to me, you know, the century really doesn't end until 2000's finished, and then the new one starts to do it. And then I strangled that one. And then another guy said to me, hey, Phil, did you know that the new century doesn't start until 2001? And then another guy came up to me and said, hey, Phil, I just read somewhere where actually the century, 20th century, doesn't end until 2000. 53 bodies. They're all dead. And I loved it. Oh, I loved it so. Squeezed the life out of every one of those geeks. Reminding me again that the new century doesn't start until 2001 because the old century ends in the year to the deed to do. And guess what? You're wrong. The new century started in the year 2000. Why? Because we all say it does. Well, that's not possible. Well, you want to wind up under my house. Keep pushing it. Now Las Vegas. Really not the most original place in the world anymore, at least not since, what do you figure, Bugsy Siegel died. Now Las Vegas is going to have a big year 2001 celebration because their 2000 celebration was such a big smoldering pile. Nobody showed up in Vegas for the year 2000, for the turn of the millennium. So they're going to have a big 2001, or so they think, a year 2001 celebration. Look, just be Las Vegas, okay? Just have the shows and, do whatever you're going to do. Build another hotel. Build another 3,000 hotel rooms. You'll be fine. Smaller than expected crowds on the Strip for the millennium celebrations also were blamed on $2,000 a night hotel rates and premiums charged for tickets to see headliners such as Barbra Streisand, Wayne Newton, and Bette Midler. Even so, city officials said more than 90% of the area's 123,000 hotel rooms were rented. Well, that's good, but it is the millennium, and you would expect the whole place to be sold out. And it wasn't, so you blew it. You blew it! You blew it! Tourism officials hope for 270,000 visitors this year, a relatively modest increase over last year's 251,000. Well, anyway, I guess you can get yourself a deal in Vegas because they really want to make a big show out of this thing. And what is this, December? It's, okay, so 2001. Do you remember what we were doing 1 year ago? 1 year ago this month, what was everybody? We were all worried about what was going to happen when the calendar clicked over. Then I had some woman say, well, this presidential election, that's our millennium bug. No, that's got nothing to do with computers. That's just people voting. What do you mean? So you're waiting for some apocalyptic event. Is that what you're saying?
Well, sure. I mean, okay.
Yeah, this time last year, we were all sitting there sweating out whether or not all the computers were going to go to hell in a handcart. And when we weren't hearing somebody saying, you know, the century really doesn't end until 2001, we were hearing somebody say, are you going to get water? Are you going to get money out of the ATM? And what I was doing is, in between strangling the people reminding me that the century didn't end the year until the year 2001, I was telling people, no, I'm not getting any money out of the ATM. Only the last, like the last 6 hours of the year, I went and I bought 3 gallons of water, and I felt like an idiot doing it. My wife said, "What's that?" I said, "I don't know. I got water. Why? I caved in a little bit to the thing. You can't put it in here. There's no room. Where are you going to stick it? I'll put it in the trunk of my car. Can I put it in the garage? Go. You put it over to the paint cans." So that's what I did. So anyway, the city of Las Vegas is having a big party if you guys want to go. Like they ain't having a party, you know, any other time of the year. Stuff that happened today in the Florida vote. Florida electors got elected. Absentee votes are staying. That's all the big news. And they're still waiting to see whether or not the Supreme Court will rule on this thing tonight. They talked to one of the guys from CNN. He said he thought he saw John Paul Stevens sneaking out the back door. Somebody said they saw Ruth Bader Ginsburg dressed in a Yankee uniform, and they're going out in disguise, you know, with a big plastic nose, and of course in her case. Well, anyway, I'm kidding. And that thing is probably not going to get settled anytime soon. I'm betting that it ain't going to happen until tomorrow. What do you think? I'm betting it's not going to happen until probably Monday. I think Monday. March. Sometime in March. This year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Maybe Michael Jackson will teach Aerosmith frontman Steve Tyler how to moonwalk. The King of Pop and Tyler among several musicians who will be inducted into the Cleveland Museum's Hall of Fame in March. The annual gala event usually turns into an all-star jam session. And I saw this story. I see this every year. And I always ask myself why I can't get excited about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Every year, about this time, they mention the nominees, and I never get excited. I know I always try to. Remember last year, there was a controversy. Ozzy Osbourne is not nominated again. And the year before, there's another controversy about somebody else. And I suddenly realized, what did Ozzy say? He said, take Sabbath off of the nomination list. He doesn't even want to be on the list anymore. And I realized, it was honest with myself, and I said, you know why I can't get excited about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is because there really shouldn't be a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The idea of a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is so anti-rock and roll, I don't even know how I can begin to explain it to anybody. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you just don't know what I'm talking about. But I think if you grew up loving that music, and I take that back, you had to grow up hating that music. I grew up hating rock and roll. Every time I heard rock and roll, it reminded me of everything I didn't have. Freedom. Sex, drugs, but I eventually got, well, anyway, but I loved it. I hated it, you know? Anyway, the whole idea of a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is so anti the idea that this is a music that keeps reinventing itself, and to institutionalize it to the point that there's a Hall of Fame, boy, no wonder people feel old, man. And no wonder Mick Jagger finally does look like somebody ought to cut the back out of one of his suits. Because the more you institutionalize this, the more you become a parody of yourself, the more it becomes a parody of itself. And the idea that there's a Hall of Fame for rock and roll means that it's essentially dead. It's more like the Rock and Roll Museum. And you go to those rock and roll museums, by the way, like, you know, any Hard Rock Cafe, places like that Mike loves. You love going to the Hard Rock Cafe. That place is kind of like Disneyland's Tomorrowland. It's like our past view of the future. It's like the 1950s view of the future. You go into the Hard Rock Cafe, and it's kind of like our innocent view of rock's past, you know, where they're the fins of a Chevy and some chick in a poodle dress. And, you know, some guy wearing, you know, jeans with his shirt rolled up and greased up hair and everything. And the cigarette pack up here. The fact of the matter is, if I remember, and I don't really have that easy a recollection because I was only about 5 years old. My brother was of that era. Nobody had the greaser roll, man. Everybody had a flat top. Everybody was shaving their head back then. And you didn't see motorcycle boots. You saw loafers with white socks. But anyway, the point is, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, inducting people into it year in and year out, which is not giving me any interest at all. I just finally realized the reason for this is because there shouldn't be a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, this AC/DC, Black Sabbath, Patti Smith, Lou Reed, all these people just sort of go in, and they're like on an assembly line. They're like Edward G. Robinson and Soylent Green. They're allowing themselves to be chewed up by this thing, you know, and made into bite-sized freaking nuggets. So as bad as you think you are and as revolutionary as you thought your music was, Patti or AC/DC or any of these cats, you guys, you just become another unit of food. Among those not making the grade, by the way, I just mentioned them, Lou Reed, AC/DC, Black Sabbath, and Patti Smith. They didn't quite make the grade, but Queen and Michael Jackson did, and Aerosmith. It's just very hard for me. I see groups, Queen, I hated them, I never liked them. Not because I thought they were gay, just because I thought they were a little pretentious, and I thought, okay, that, you know, classic rock, you know, melding classical music with rock and roll, it's a good idea. Please don't take it to extremes. And guess what? Queen did. Them and those other clowns, ELO. Holy Jesus, give me a break. Look, I know you guys come from England, and you grew up three blocks from the freaking Albert Hall, but do we gotta hear violins in rock and roll music? Do we really? What a pretentious and ultimately failed experiment. I thought Electric Light Orchestra, guys on cellos. What is that about? What the hell is that? We're going to show you Americans really how we're going to meld classical music with rock. Are you putting me on? Get out of here with a guy. And take that freaking top hat off, too. And the tails. And get out of here. And Queen... Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah, I know, Wayne's World. You know, it's really fun to look back on that swill. Anyway, all right, forget it. Never mind. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything. It's great. Have fun. We're giving away tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If we can get our hands on any, we'll let you have them, okay? I'm sorry. It's really neat. It'll be fun. Go there and have a malt. All right, back to the Florida Supreme Court in just a moment, maybe. By the way, next hour, Steve Bozell... and your favorite Steve Bozell lawsuits. Next hour, it'll be the Steve Bozell Hour, and your favorite lawsuits filed by Steve Bozell. We'll have that for you coming up on The Phil Hendry Show. Show here, 1-800-449-8686. What other band? Yes. Remember those guys? God, you'd think that they had hired Yehudi Menuhin, man, like they got Andre Previn to conduct all their and arrange everything. It's rock and roll, for crying out loud. You know, there was a time in my life when I was young, when I was like 15, I really took the music so seriously that I wanted to see it evolve into the art form that it deserved to be. But now as I look back in my life, and I'm a curmudgeonly old 48-year-old guy, and I don't get any joy out of life anymore, and I don't use drugs anymore, and I don't really have sex anymore, and I'm just a boring old man. I look back and I say, why did I ever want to change that music into anything other than what it was? Rock and roll. You know, in many ways, thank God for the Beatles and the Stones and all that wonderful stuff, but in many ways, the British were the worst freaking thing that ever happened to rock and roll. King Crimson in the court of the Crimson what? In the court of your Crimson what? And Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, oh, back it down a notch. Brain salad surgery and fanfare for the common man. Holy God, that's somebody else's experience. That's not mine. Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. And all that organ playing. All of that organ playing. I haven't seen so much organ playing since backstage of that Stone show I went to a few years back. So anyway, that's all just swill, right? Check this out. In Corleone, Sicily, by the way, no ruling yet on the President of the United States. We'll let you know. Oh, wait a second. We do now have a ruling. We do now have a ruling. Francisco Franco has been brought back from the dead. He is now officially the dictator for this whole freaking shooting match. Isn't that great? What do you guys want? You want a president or a dictator? I say dictator. I think it'll make life a lot easier. You don't have to vote. You got a guy that's going to call the shots. And you know what? If anything gets really rowdy, he calls out the troops, man, and we bust a few heads. How about that Marcos dude? Oh, he's croaked too? How about that guy, Batista? How about that other guy? What's his name? Who is the Nicaragua guy? You guys are too young to remember the Nicaragua guy? Oh, God, what was his name? I do know one thing. All of these guys, when they got thrown out of their countries, guess where they came to live? You got it, the good old USA. How about Saddam? Noriega. Well, Noriega's living here, in a manner of speaking. He's in jail. The rest of those guys, though, had beachfront property. How about the Shah of Iran? Boy, that guy, they hated his guts. And if they had gotten their hands on him back in Iran back in 79, they would have strung that guy up from the nearest tree. But guess where that guy comes to live? America. And what do? Do we place the guy under arrest? Do we extradite him back to the country to see whether or not there are some charges? No, we give this guy a spread in Beverly Hills. How about Khomeini? I think he's my pick. I love him with that hair, that hairdo and that forever sour look on his face. And how about old Fidel, too? Those guys are still doing a lot of good business in their countries. There's Papa Doc Duvalier. There's Baby Doc Duvalier. There's Nikita. There's Leonid. There's Lenin. There's Leon. There is Paul. There's Maurice. There's John Paul, George, and Ringo. And then there's Adolf. All those guys, I think, make pretty short work of their country's problems, and they do the same thing for us. If we could just get rid of this crybaby stuff and all these people out in front of the Supreme Court, I know the first thing they do is machine gun all those guys in front of the Supreme Court. Just wrap those guys up, throw them into a paddy wagon. They're getting a little dull. Every time I go to Wolf Blitzer, all I'm hearing in the background is, Wolf sex, Wolf sex, Wolf sex. In Corleone, Sicily, in a town where stony alleys once ran red in blood nearly every day, Angela Mirabel took her two young children on a field trip of sorts, a stroll to a mafia museum to teach them about a notorious past that she hopes is gone forever. The anti-mafia documentation center set up in a 400-year-old palace that used to be an orphanage was being formally opened Tuesday in a ceremony timed to coincide with the start of a UN conference in Palermo aimed at encouraging nations to do more to defeat organized crime. On Monday, workmen hung up on the center's walls blown-up photographs of mafia killings and bombings of the last three decades. Crime so horrible that Sicilians who used to keep silent about Cosa Nostra started demanding that Italian authorities crack down on centuries-old organized crime. And I never knew that there was a town called Corleone. I thought they made that up for the movie. Michael Corleone, here it is right here. The last surviving member of the Corleone family was on hand for the opening of the museum. Said Michael, every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. Okay, great. Craig hadn't seen the movie, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.